quite a medical analogy which is very prominent here,
more so than parallel texts to the Rambam. Rambam in the early part essentially engaged in description, describing the structure in terms of two parts of reminiscence, of course, of medieval psychology, the structure of the human soul, its components, its tendencies. Particularly the first two parakim. Third parak, he had begun to lay the groundwork with not the descriptive, prescriptive, not what is, what ought to be, how one's to attain it. And all that, of course, very much in the focus, and I noted this earlier, very characteristic of the Rambam, upon the individual soul rather than social ills, social fabric, etc., etc. Fourth parak, the third had begun to kind of overture, as it were, to the prescriptive part. Rambam swings into high gear, building on the third parak of Bin Cholya Nefesh, as the first parak describes the structure of the soul, and the third, the deviation from the proper norm. And the fourth, how to deal with that. But that the challenge the Rambam has in the fourth parak, starting the fourth, going to fourth and fifth, he captures the fourth Cholaya Nefesh. But in a sense, it's a little bit misleading, because the caption is. Because the Rambam here, in describing fourth Cholaya Nefesh, despite his inclination to deal with medical analogy, but the medical world itself, we deal with four in two respects. There's illness, there's deviation from the norm, whether physical or psychic, and then there's the prescription how a person ought to live in order to avoid deviations, in order to have a balanced and a healthy, vital life. While this fourth parak is entitled Fourth Cholaya Nefesh, it begins, and this is a dominant theme within it, probably that which we remember more than Rambam's account of the cure development, is with how, what is the good, what is the optimal. When I say what the good is the optimal, I don't need to discuss here in ultimate terms. The area of your moral religious philosophy, where people speak of the good, whether from a religious standpoint or from a general secular standpoint, they speak in terms of some kind of ultimate ideal. Kivas Alakim, the ultimate good is being the Yediya Hashem, Avos Hashem, the conduct development, the cognitive development, etc. Here the Rambam speaks in much more moderate terms. Ultimately, of course, not so much if we're to deal with the paragraph he said in Mishnah Torah, the discussion of the ultimate good that comes in the Chas Tshuva, which is much more than Tshuva as such. Tshuva too is a kind of a healing, a spiritual deviation. But when Rambam speaks of Chas Tshuva, he speaks also of the ideal, Chayil Maboy, etc. In Chizdeus, which is parallel to Shemir Parakim, the Rambam doesn't fly quite so high and deals at a much more mundane level with the structure of the soul, its routine operation, quality, characteristics, tendency which is good to develop, those which is good to avoid. Now this, in a sense, sets a background for a question some people have with regard to what the Rambam says here. The central point of the Rambam, of course, is the opening at the beginning of the fourth parak, a pilot ha-shein tovot and a pilot ha-shavot, not shavot in terms of worth, but equal, balanced. Mutzot ben shnei ktzavot, shnei mra, echad mem yitur, excess, deficiency. Amalot hein tchunot nafshiyot v'kinyanim, spiritual characteristics or abilities, mutzei m'shtei tchunot ra'ot, v'chad men yitera v'acheret chasera. And he goes on to describe, and we'll speak about this more fully in a moment, but this is the optimal golden mean line between these two extremes, these two poles. It's of course a well-known formulation, and we'll look somewhat later on at a parallel formulation of the first part of Isaiah, which in many respects is parallel to this, in certain respects is different from it. And it raises, certainly in the minds of contemporary readers, a number of issues. Some issues have to do with questions which are not related as such to the Rambam or to Shmuel Parakim. Well, maybe to the Rambam in a sense more than to the Sefer Devarim Avinutam. That has to do with the source of this formulation. Rambam took pains to find a home source, so to speak. And he speaks later on of Mishur Sadin. But beyond that, I don't believe it appears here. Yes, the detail of the asceticism that he quotes Amar Chazal and Psukim. But with regard to the basic conception, the Mishnah Teriyaz of Maimel, which I believe is not appear here. Asim Tzilim. Some derech Rav Yeshe Elokim. First, there was some derech, Rav Yeshe Elokim, then, of course, in my Chazal, I'll take a sum derech and a sham derech. The person balances his positions. Beyond that particular maimel, which I'll define in a minute. Rambam takes pains in Mishneh Torah to link by Skaskas over here with the Torah de Gevurot. He doesn't begin that way. Yopich is Deus, Deot Arbe Yesh Tuchan Echad Vechar Bnei Adam, Zom Shuna Mizor Chukam Mer Biyoter, Yesh Lam Shu Bal Chima Kol Istabi, Yesh Lam Shu Datu Mishad Avenu Kol Isklal, Michas Chesmat, Kasmat of Chavi Shanim, etc. So unlike what we have in Shemot Parakim, Shemot Parakim speak of the Nefesh as a single unit, of an individual soul, the presumption is that It's the general archetype. Others are the same kind. But what the Rambam is diagnosing is an individual soul, ha-nefesh, the nefesh. This, of course, is relevant to the whole of Shemini Prakim, at least the five or six early Prakim, which focus on the individual soul. In Mishneh Torah, it begins with a kind of a sociological survey, as it were. And some people like this, some people like that. When the analysis is done of a particular individual soul, but of the nature of society as a whole, whether some people of one kind, some people of another kind, what the whole fabric is like. So in that respect, there's a difference, and it's a significant one. But in terms of speaking in universal categories, that the opening of the Chasdeis and the thrust of these Parkim in Shemini Parkim is similar. That's the universal category. So on one end, he speaks in universal terms. And here Shemini Parkim gets to discuss later on the question of asceticism, which of course he rejects. There he speaks for a group of people who go beyond the normal Hasidim. The term Hasid. The Rambam, to some extent, in Chazal, is not necessarily a theoretical term. They speak of Chassidim and Seilom. That doesn't mean people who are Goyim or Shemu Shabbos. That means they have certain qualities of heart and soul and spirit, which are characteristic of a person who wants to be noble, lofty, elevated. See the discussion, if you're talking about Chassidim, could also have a universal stat. In Hilchos Deis, Rambam looks, as I've said, for a theoretical stat for this. A theoretical stat, I mean two things. First, a market in Chazal somewhere, which should speak with approbation of the push Rambam has. But beyond that, he looks for a normative address as well. When I say normative, I mean, I don't know what Rambam has in Shemini Prakim. Shemini Prakim also, Rambam tells us this is the way you should behave. And on certain specific issues, when he gets, let's say, the question of asceticism, so he finds Mekiris, question Chazal, whether etc., etc. But broadly speaking, he doesn't speak in terms of a halachic category. It's assumed that this mitzvah, that mitzvah. And in a sense, it's akdomah to avos that can be understood. So avos, as well as the believer already indicated here, runs the gamut between normative statements, what you have to do halachically, and what it's good to do morally, what's advisable to do prudentially. But much of it, of course, is not, strictly speaking, subsumed in halakhic categories. It has, for us, in many respects, halakhic ramifications because of its source. In other words, the statement which Chazal make about what is the good life, morally speaking, even when they don't subsume that under the halakhic category, but it's Chazal. So that, of course, carries great weight per se. And many of those things have entered into the world of halacha as well. But if we look at that through our perspective, looking back to the sources in Chazal, but looking to where Chazal stood when they provided that counsel, is not, strictly speaking, normative. But it's out of their own wisdom to understand the human soul, the human spirit, the nature of interpersonal relationships, etc., etc. Chassidei Sfarim is not content with that. He finds an address, and he sends several addresses. The primary one is Balakh David Rachov. מצווים אנו ללכת בדרכים אלו הבינוניים, ומצווים אנו, mind you, it's not the language you should have to do. מצווים אנו ללכת בדרכים אלו הבינוניים, והם הדרכים הטובים והישרים של מה ולכת בדרכיו. Not be content with the pasuk, Rambam relates to Chazal's explanation of the pasuk. Broadly speaking, it's which translates into several categories. Come on, Seita speaks of particular activities. One of Dalit, Meshim and Vakichelim, Meshim and Achim Avelim, and every you should do it as well. For each of these things, there's a Mokir, Meshim is Avraham Avinu, he came, etc., etc. But most money to us, probably not come out in Seita. It's the memory of related to various sources, like Kiryat Ma'aveh or others, and the Sifri, Balakh David Rachov, Ahurach Maftarach, Muchan Vat Chanun, which has good qualities. Looking beyond that, it's interesting Medrash in Parshas Kedoshim. Parsha says that the Keter Tzisroel, the Parsha Orle, Parsha, what does that relate to Ma'achal? And that pasuk ordinarily speaking, of course, we take him to refer to historical circumstances which will develop, but that normative statements. To what ours with that tokrates machal, I'll tell what that piyo, so she had a chavay rain or yachal. We normally read the pasuk is, come to Israel and plant a tree. Then, after you've done that, then what should be? There begins the normative part of the statement. Whether you should be planting trees, or building roads, engaging in nothing that has to do with construction altogether, that the normative would be the positive, not part of it. The Medrash takes the Maimel Varach David Rachov and adds an additional dimension to it. Chitoroi la'aretz v'metatem kol eitz ma'achal. In other words, the part of the pasuk which presents the setting, that's just the first, Chitoroi la'aretz. The normative part, what you then should do, what you must do, what you ought to do, that immediately metatem kol eitz ma'achal, as opposed to the ordinary reading, which continues with that, Tegwaritz Machal, all of that is the setting, circumstances, then what will be? The message there says that you should be planting trees, just the bench should have planted trees. Start of the world by planting trees. You also should be in Tegwaritz Machal. So the element will have to be Drachov. Can have a certain flexibility to it. But that is not to suggest, of course, that it's just an option. If you like it, if you don't like it. Rakhti Dorov is a mitzvah, every other mitzvah. The modality, the details, how you make the mitzvah, this is left to create that open. As I've said, in terms of the things that we think about, certainly planting the tree is not the same category as Rachav Chanun or the same category as Vakichim and Menachem Avelim and Serechos Vechala. But it's normative. That's number one, the Rambam. Secondly, I don't know if you have a lot of people who are not going to be able to do it. I don't know if you have a lot of people who are not going to be able to do it. But there is a lot of people who are not going to be שהן דרכים טובים וישרים, חייב אדם להניג עצמו בהן ולעמוד עליו לפי כוחו. It's an interesting switch here in the Rambam. What I'm trying to, the point I'm trying to make is the median golden mean. That's his trying to make. He doesn't have all the stuff here, some say doesn't pack base, as to which qualities ought to be mediated. Maybe it's such a word altogether, some of no value, no significance. When we include in such a category directives, guidance, a person is playing basketball, should play an offense or a defense to find the median rules. No. It's not a normative category altogether. That's all thrust of it. And we ought to follow but then when he gets to what the Vim are all about, all those Kinuim, he says, But is that the point of the Rambam in this parak? To know which are Dochim Tovim Yisharim? Yes and no. The Derech HaTov HaYashor for him is the median path. That's the thrust of the whole parak. But with regard to which qualities of heart and soul a person ought to follow this median path, that's not what he's telling you. Yeah, what does he say? What does the Vim tell you? The Vim tell you that being in a Chapayim, in a Rav Chesed, in a Tzadik, in a Yashor, those are positive qualities. Chim Tovim Sharim. Yeah, but isn't part of what Ram is saying before, Gibor b'chazak, be Gibor in moderation, be Gibor at median level. So to some extent he runs together here two elements. One is which are the positive qualities in the first place, and then with regard to each positive quality, what form, what degree of it is positive. All right, that's a question I've given thought to. But in any event, as I've indicated, Rambam have begun universal terms, which are presumably non-normative, finds a normative address, and particularly Balakta Bidrachov, which of course is a very central value in religious thought generally, in the world of Halacha particularly. Not content himself with that, Rambam then goes on to say, so those Shemot which Nevi'im employed, those descriptors, those adjectives, by Nevi'im, v'heim ha'derech ha'benoni she'chayvin ha'lechet ba, nikrei ta'erzo derech Hashem. He should be made of Rav Mavni Lebana, Shem Gidatim Lashi Sabe, v'chulei. Ha'olech v'derech zo mevi tova b'cha la'atzmo, she'nema l'man avi Hashem al Avram et asher diber alav. If you have a remarkable conclusion of this parak, the Rambam starts in terms which I said are relatively neutral, halakhically speaking, and theologically speaking. This is good. Moves on to the normative phase. It doesn't contend with saying you want Tzumi to do this. Tzumi to do this, this is what the Reishon does. Identifies this characteristic, the self of the moderation, the Rechavatavir Yisharim, with the Rebbein Shalaylam. And having done that, of course, that becomes Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem and said that which were mitzuvah by Levin Shleidam, but that Hashem, that which is characteristic Kaviyachal of the Levin Shleidam. It's the way which Kaviyachal, the existence of Levin Shleidam, turns his Kaviyachal Danhoge, it's one which entails these drachim of Yishroi. And maybe the Pasuk says that Avraham lives the Derech Hashem. So Mimele, what is the Derech Hashem? So the Pasuk speaks of ends. How do you tzedakah v'mishpat? In moderation, with excessive force, doesn't say. So maybe they're klolim, and maybe they're not. But certainly that pasuk did not formulate it. But the Rambam, having decided that the drachim of the Ben Shleilam are these drachim, talking about Yishorim, in two respects. Number one, the adjectives we should apply by the Vim to the Ben Shleilam. Those are his qualities. And number two, that the degree to which the Ben Shleilam employs those characteristics, that's also Derech Hashem. So that's Derech Hashem, says the Rambam. Mimele, that's where Avraham Avinu lived, and that's where we ought to live. Of course, all of this begins when you end up on a very high note. What Nevi'im are like, what Avraham Avinu was like, what Derech Hashem is, what the worship of Yochanan is like. And all of this, after the Rambam has decided, presumably, without recourse to such sukkim, the Apostle says, speaks of Derech Hashem and moderation. Certainly if we open the Tanakh, there are points which that moderation may be viewed as being manifested, but certainly many parts in which it's not Kelekomis Hashem, it's not an exercise in moderation, and there are many other sukkim. You open Nachum, you hear stands on end. But the Rambam here is so intent on pursuing this agenda, even though it's an agenda which appears to be, without strictly speaking sources, but rather than do what normally one does, there's a pasuk in the Torah which says you should do mitzvah. And then you analyze the mitzvah, its content, its details, and its gedolim, its limitations, its chiyuv and p'turim, and he built a whole Shulchan Aruch. Here he seems to have an inverted pyramid. He starts with a certain conception which is very much in line with the way of Rabbi Yishmael Kwakim. Having started with that conception, he then attaches it, as it were, to the others, to the Ben Shleilam. And all of this without, seemingly, strictly speaking, an address and a direct source. Now, this would propose a certain problem in its own right. How are we to understand I'm going so far on the basis of what essentially is this svara, is moral philosophy, identifying what he thinks should be, with what he says was God the Ben Shleilam is, and merely should be for us. Without a clear normative source, so if he had contented himself with Yidaz Shemana Prakim, and said this is the right way to live, a good way to live, etc. And what is a philosophical, semi-philosophic treatise? Fine. But here he speaks in normative terms. This. What compounds the question is two factors, one internal, one external. The internal one is one which extends beyond the first couple of parakim, which comes to the fore particularly in Gimel Pagdal particularly. Rambam here speaks of Hilchus Deis. Halacha sometimes, of course, does not tell you what you ought to do, but if you want to do, how you should do it. But into much of it. It tells you what you must do, what you may not do, defines and delimits parameters of human activity. And certainly the climate in Hichasdeis over here is not simply said, if you want to engage a certain quality, this is the way to do it. But prescriptive, what you should do, how you ought to live. In what sense, to what extent can we use the term halacha here as we use it elsewhere? In some respects, I've indicated the details are here much looser, much less definitive than Nichas Lulav, Nichas Vasav Chalav. But even the set of question of details, the obligation to strive to attain this ideal, that presumably according to Rambam is no less normative, no less mechayev than the obligation to take a lulav. So I paro lach to vidrach. But can that be done? And to what extent is it applicable? Because there is as a whole. So before the medical analogy in the Rambam, in Shmei Prakim, such what Rambam does, it starts by going to deal with the human soul. The human soul almost as a medical organism, which can put on the table, analyzed, dissected, described, etc. And that model for the first three parking, certainly those first three parking, is very much uppermost in our minds for what the Rambam is striving at. In Chasdeis, he doesn't do that. He has, in the middle of Parak Beis, a tactical plane. Says that if you want to attain the optimal medium, so what you do is push a little bit to the extreme to the other direction to attain the proper balance. In order to make that point, which makes it real, so Shmei Parkim. So, introduce a medical analogy. So, what you do, as I said, you're going to look to the extreme. That's when he's dealing with a tactic, and not more than that. Later on, though, Parak Dalet, Rambam gets on to the proper regimen. Metaphysically speaking, as well. Ho'il v'heyot ha'guf bari v'shalem mitachei Hashem hu, she'i efshar she'yavin l'yedat dvar midyat ha'borei v'u choleh, lefik ha'sicha ha'chik adam atzmo midorim ha'abdin et ha'guf, ha'ndi atzmo midorim ha'mavrim ha'machlimim ve'ilu hay. That follows the medical agenda. What's good to eat, what's bad to eat, when to eat, how much to eat, etc. Rambam understood that you need some kind of a bridge over here. And the bridge is that having a proper body, men's sadhana and korbara sadhana, is of religious significance. It's not something whether you like it or like a matter of taste. Tam reich. And the reason for that is, and it's interesting in its own right, some people have extended, spoke in terms of the need to maintain a state of proper health without relating to the impact that this will have upon your Avedis Hashem. Hashem has given you a body, you are not to abuse it. If there's baltashchis with regard to foodstuffs, other things, something which entails a hashkosa, some physical element, but it's of value for the body, the body takes precedence. So it's about tashkis for the goof, it takes precedence there. But it's presumably some need, as we have in Shatavar al Shotechem, which of course is not to be taken within the context of that particular parasha, but normally we don't assume if you show enough Shotechem, because otherwise you won't be able to learn the Dharma properly. Rambam, interestingly, maybe surprisingly to me, says, no, the reason is because you want to see to it that you'll be able to arrive at Hashem as best you can. And particularly for the Rambam, that means that's not a avoid of other sorts, but Yidia Sabere, Shrei Yavshar Shavinu Yidah Dvam Yidah Tambore, Vuhuchole. If you're ill, your concentration is disturbed, you have other concerns, you can't concentrate, etc. And it's forced to the Rambam, a continuation of the end of Pagimel Kosdeis, where Rambam says, Chomas Rin Shem Shomayim, very central Mishnei Noves, which the Rambam took as a flagship, we'll see that subsequently, Shemini Prakim. So he says, therefore, a person in all of his activities should be thinking of it, should be whatever he does has ramifications for Avedis Hashem. Nimtza ma'alech b'derech zo kol yamav Avedit Hashem tamid afilu b'shah shenoseh v'notein business b'shah sheboel in sexual life v'shem machshavto b'kol v'shemimtza tzrachav ad sheyeh gufo shalem l'avod et Hashem afilu b'shah shu yashen אם יושן לו דעת, יש תנוח דעתו עליו, ינוח גופו, כדי שלא יהיה חלב, יוכל עבוד השם והוא חולה, ושתי שינה שלו עבודה על מקום ברוך הוא. זה סוג זנן של פרק ד'. But I assume, if we were asked about פרק ד', we would say, well, the goal to have a healthy body, which enables you to be able to Hashem optimally, maximally, that is normative. Details, probably not. Father Schoenbach once says, Rashiva Huda Schoenbach, but some of these details that I'm here, how much to sleep, how much to eat, what do you want to sleep? And his response was, this is not the Rambam, it's the Dr. Maimonides. But I say that doesn't apply to Al-Khalif. Al-Khalif is very much. Very much the Rambam. So that too is placed by the Rambam, given his assumption of his medical knowledge. That too becomes, if this is indeed valuable and advances and enhances the person, eventually that becomes part of that as well. So I imagine if we raise in our minds the question, in what sense is the Halukhas Deis Pagdalat Haloche? We say, well, once we've determined two propositions. Number one, that Haloche requires a person to engage in Yidiyas Habere. Number two, these guidelines will serve that purpose. The living, of course, those guidelines becomes normative. But that is an issue. What do we give thought to? Suggest to what extent one can understand the Rambam taking presumably his own svara and building on that the whole moral religious universe in one place than the other. In this respect, there's a distinct difference, as I've indicated, despite the very great similarity of what's being said between this Pagish and the Prakim and the Chazdeis, subsequent formulation of the Rambam. But the problem which is raised in this connection is that it would be a halbitzare if indeed one were totally convinced of the fact that what Ram sets forth in Shmuel Plakim here and in Chazdeus is indeed that which he, in accordance with his own intuitive wisdom, out of the wellsprings of Chazal and the whole tradition, that Ramban built up. But there's a bit of a fly in this ointment. That is the fact that the general ideal, which Tom describes over here, the medium between extremes, whether that qualities of heart and soul, etc., etc., there's precedent for that. Of course, the precedent is no less than Aristotle. In the early first two books of the Nicomachean Ethics, Aristotle relates to this issue and presents pretty much this perception. It's good to have median root, don't go to extremes, etc. And for many, that position of Aristotle is the epitome of what they consider to be Greek ethics, where, at least on the so-called Apollonian side, Nietzsche's distinction between the Apollonian ethics and the Dionysiac ethics, moderation, rationality, order, balance, etc. All of those were associated in our minds with the Greek temper. And while this is the subject of a large body of literature, people have dealt with this. But after all the literatures and all the dust has settled, if one places that as opposed to much of the other classical world, non-Greek world, or with subsequent Christian ethics, certainly the element of my balance of temperance is there. Then the question arises, given the fact that Ramban was, of course, exposed to Athenian ethics, and his admiration of Aristotle was almost unbounded, can we understand that which he describes and prescribes over here is indeed something which comes out of Halakha Midrash, etc., or with some extent you don't start with Halakha Midrash, you end up with Halakha Midrash? Then you begin by having Suki, which tells you this way you should behave, and then you develop this as part of the halachic system, the halachic regimen. But you begin with what is very open-ended pasuk, halachic midracho, not knowing what those drachim are, and then decide on the basis of philosophical orientation, within which there is a theory component, maybe a significant element, and decide that's the Hashem. And then what kind of sharpness of kilayim do you have between the Greek ideal and our world? Much is written about this. Just say a few things now, develop some of the other difficulties next time. We're dealing today to some extent with the question of the parallelism or lack of it between Shmuel Plakim and Chazdeus. There are a number of major points to be made. We're not going to go to all of them now. But the difference that I noted previously, namely that in Chazdeus now speaks the words of Halacha, the language of Halacha, categories of halacha. The Amish Shmuel Plakim lives and breathes and works within the context of halacha. And when he gets to the crucial asceticism, particularly, that's manifest. But he does not speak very much in terms of the categories of halacha. If one were to ask oneself, where is the Rambam closer to Aristotle? Imagine the Shmuel Plakim much more so than in formulation of Chasdeis. Many years ago, I remember hearing the Rav speak to me about this issue, not about Shemana Parkim, but about the Chasdeis and such, which they started. The point she made was that indeed, in terms of much of the detail and the specifics, there's a lot of parallelism between the Adam and Aristotle and the Rambam, but that substantively, contextually, there's a very, very significant difference, because the whole thrust, both the roots and the ultimate goal are very, very different. Where Aristotle stands theologically, so where we're supposed to, where we stand, the question in its own right, is he a theist, is not a theist, what sense of a theist? But what's clear is that whatever degree of theism one ascribes to him, it's not significantly not dominant in the Kamekian ethics, which are very much rooted on his own experience. And some of them put it, written with an eye to the eudaimonic character of human existence, the attainment of a pleasurable life, of a gratifying life, a satisfying life. I don't mean necessarily a hedonistic one. Certainly Aristotle did not assume that the good life was simply the life of enjoyment and having a good time. Far from it. But the context of life in which a person can come closer to ultimate reality, closer eventually, that certainly is not part of it. But that to the Rambam, this approach of stress, to the contrary, the element of enjoying a degree of gratifying, satisfying life. Simply because there is not very much present. And here the focus, that goes together with the element of Vekus, and it's by enabling a person to take a syllable Akim and develop it most fully and most richly, that a person comes close to the Ben Shleilam, sell him close to the source, and that's what the Rambam is all about. I'm very much inclined to accept that, although of course Maskilim are not. The Maskilim, they think that the Rambam do everything from Aristotle. But the fact that this is what to a great extent gives a particularly tailored Jewish cast to this whole concept, perhaps only magnifies the fact that this is a prominent element in the Chasdeis, the first part. Very much a minor note, Shemana Parkim presumed a similar text. This is the one question which arises in Keshe Shemar Parkim and the comparison with Rambam. As I've said, it's a question which has to do not only with this particular point, but more generally about the source of the Rambam and from what he did draw, to what extent that which he found in the general world and adopted for his own thinking, to what extent that process of adoption underwent the transformation, she made a terribly, even though maybe started somewhere else, in terms of general culture to which the Rambam had been exposed. We have to give thought to another matter. This we'll deal with next time, both in this part and in Chasdeis. And this is what over here is being presented as an ideal. The ideal is the element of balance. Mediation, moderation per se, or that it so happens that each of these qualities is at its best in moderation. not that moderation is the ideal. The ideal is being a gentle soul, but not too excitable. That's an ideal. Or is moderation itself valuable, an ideal? That's what we talk about. Then, of course, subsequently, the Rambam deals with the issue of asceticism. He says an issue which is vast, literature in our own world, out of the general world as well. And here we have to give thought to where the Rambam stands on this issue and where we stand with regard to it, with regard to the ideal as such, and with regard to its translation to practical fact. The Makaris with regard to this, well, this Rambam, of course, is one of them. He refers to the Gemara in Tainis, Tafir Aleph, Nozni Kachete, Nozni Kachodesh. This collection will be valuable to see also. Discussion in Tesis, both of them come from Caliph, and in Times of Fanot, where possibly the two could be reconciled, it's both the Nazir, it's both the Kodesh and the Chayte. The most familiar Mekeres are to be found sort of collected, but in a way which also gives them some coloring, in Shara Prishus, in Mesir Sisharim. I keep forgetting what the Jalaf you test, but I think it's Jalaf. We won't get beyond that next time, but if one wants to look ahead, discussion also of Fim Shuras Adin, which the Rambam has in the middle of this parak, that parallels discussion of Fim Shuras Adin in Chasdeis. As we've seen against the background of the topic of Israel generally, where that stands. And in this connection, of course, the Ramban is particularly familiar. Ramban in the beginning of the Tesh, the Ramban in the Siddha Shabbat Tev. But that I don't imagine we'll get to next time.
As far as these being universal values which have become, like the Rav said, normative in Hilchot Deot, would they apply, is the Jewish attitude also towards non-Jews, not necessarily all day kochavim, but Mirachman and everything else would apply equally to Jew or non-Jew?
Well, I'm not sure I know what some of you. If your question is, would, according to the Rambam, the categories that he describes, these be some kind of yardstick for measuring the morality of a certain given ethic as a culture, or individuals living within a certain culture?
No, I meant as far as the Jewish, how a Jewish person should act towards a non-Jew.
I don't know if that's the Rambam's thrust over here. Do you ask whether there is application of what the Rambam says over here to that area? The answer is yes. But on the other hand, there are other normative elements also in the picture, and Rabbi here speaks of this kind of an ideal universe within which a person's deus and personality can be worked out and developed. The world of Rabbi Nizara is not ideal. Rabbi Nizara, by definition, is tumor, is deviation. And that, to some extent, imposes upon us certain norms which are not consonant with moderation, etc. But in terms of whether I'm thinking this is where Goyim should be living, the answer is yes. Okay, we'll see you next time. We'll continue. I imagine at some point there's going to be a backlog of questions from the time we heard the kids. But let's get back on track here first. start the clock again. Thank you.
In 2 weeks on Hanukkah, this year will be Tuesday.